Good evening. You know who it is. It's the craziest uncle who is called Uncle Dan in all of Indianapolis, Indiana. And I am speaking to you this evening. It's almost 8 p.m. It's been a kind of a stormy evening. And that is immensely appropriate given the circumstances because tonight's podcast is dangerously personal. And let me explain what that means to you after I take a sip of water. So, dangerously personal. It has to do with things that involve topics that if I didn't discuss them almost in the way that the gangsters do, you know, where they don't actually use like concrete nouns or concrete objects. They sort of use these abstract terms like that thing or that guy. Did you talk to that guy? They don't say, hey, did you take the secret documents and take them to Bob the accountant? No. They said, hey, did you take care of that thing for me? So this is the kind of situation where I want to kind of talk like Sopranos. In fact, there are times at work where I tell people, you've seen Sopranos. Can you just talk like Sopranos for a bit? You know, we all know what we're talking about. Don't be a fucking moron. So anyways, there's a situation, and let's just say it involves some business. I won't say if it's a business I work for or work with. That is a thing I cannot confirm. But this particular business that wants my time, my resources, my mentoring, my help. This organization that wants my services has probably known for quite a while that the situation there, that business, was not going so well, and that there were real numbers that would say that the likelihood was it would more or less not exist within a year or two. Now, that is as much as I can say. I cannot say it's a business I work for. I don't work for this business. This is an abstract question. This is a hypothetical. But in that situation, what do you do? You know, I got to tell you, if you read my blog, if you listen to me, if you're like my friend I just spoke to on the phone and you have to listen to my fucking bitching, you know that I believe that some very, very rough times are ahead. And even using those words pales when compared to the most likely best case scenario. And the most likely best case scenario is a lot of disintegration, a lot of breakdown, a lot of shit that stops working, cops that don't show up when something happens, firemen that don't show up, your fucking cable TV doesn't work, and they aren't fucking shipping TV sets to Best Buy any longer, sorry. That is the most likely best case scenario. Basically economic collapse, and then we have to rebuild, but at least there's a chance to rebuild. The most likely worst case scenario is basically nuclear war, and I mean full-scale nuclear war. And in that scenario, whether it's 1,000 missiles that go up or 2,000 missiles or 5,000 missiles that go off or whatever, it really doesn't matter. Once you get past a certain number of missiles, human civilization ceases to exist. But the sad truth is, the most likely scenario is much closer to the most likely worst-case scenario, from my perspective. Like, I think President Obama's making all the wrong decisions. I don't know why he is. I can't prove there's a conspiracy. I won't claim there's a conspiracy. I'll simply tell you, I think what he's doing from a foreign policy perspective is some of the most dangerous maneuvering I've ever seen in the history of the United States of America. Like no American president, this includes Bush. In many ways, Obama is more reckless than Bush, which is really, that's scary when you think about it. But in some ways, when people think of Bush and Obama as separate presidents, they're being kind of morons, really. And when you look how the Republican Party is behaving right now, when you look at how they're behaving, is it any mystery that many of us question whether there's any real fucking difference between the Democrats or the Republicans? When you look how the Democrats are behaving, I mean, here's the deal. I think that there is a 90% chance that after the FBI interview, this coming FBI interview. It is a near certainty. Everybody needs to listen to this. If you do the whole in-trade thing, I don't do it. I think it's a near certainty that Hillary, in some form, is going to be exonerated. Either she's going to get a little slap on the wrist, or she's going to be completely exonerated based upon some legalistic bullshit that only a Goldman Sachs fucking attorney could come up with. That's what I think is going to happen. I don't think she's going to jail. Before people like her ever go to jail, they die. They don't go to jail. Hillary, people like Hillary don't go to jail. They talk and they explain where all the thousands of bodies are buried. And you need to understand something. A woman like Hillary Clinton probably knows where every body is buried, going back to the Lincoln's assassination, probably. Maybe that's an exaggeration. Maybe just McKinley. But I wouldn't be surprised, JFK. So the bottom line is, Hillary's connected to the deep state. The likelihood that the deep state would let Hillary Clinton go to jail, it's just so implausible. In fact, the whole thing's being set up for dramatic effect. The entire situation is dramatic to make her come out the other side as the strong woman who braved the storm of conservative, you know, jackals who are biting at the heels of her feminine chance to be going forward for her chance, her turn, you know? I think no matter who wins election, I don't care if it's Trump or Hillary or Ted Cruz or if Jeb Bush resurrects himself and allows me to fulfill my devilish prediction of a Clinton-Bush 2016, which is so horrific, but yet so beautiful if it would ever turn out to be true in some accidental way. Because I got to tell you something. Even now, I would not count out Jeb Bush, because we now know the Republican Party, the Democratic Party, they're not about democracy. Don't be a fucking moron. The Democrats are not about democracy. There is no democracy there. It doesn't matter if every state votes for Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders will not be chosen for the Democratic nominee. Do you understand what I just said? The Republicans do not give a fuck about you. They'll tell you they care. And if you're stupid, if you get sucked into their bullshit, maybe you do think they care. But they don't give a fuck about you. The only thing good that ever came out of a Republican function that I attended was meeting one person, this one amazing, beautiful person. And she basically turned out to be an opportunistic Ron Paul Republican, which means she was basically a libertarian. But she was there as a delegate because she wanted to see. She was, you know, she's an optimist, basically, a very optimistic person. And she wanted to see if she could change the world. I totally admire that. But the only good thing that came out of that Republican thing for me was meeting this person. And not that anything big came out of it. It's just that it was one of those things where you meet a person in your life and they have a positive effect. Anywho, I am awfully long-winded tonight in a sense. I don't know, in a sense, maybe I'm not. I have to make a really tough decision, and I can't really talk about it. And for those of you who don't know me, you don't want to know about it, because my problems are my problems. And you know what? These days, if we're really honest, all of our little personal storms, in many ways, are just part of a wider global storm that is way beyond our fucking control. But what column does that place the decision in? Does it place it in the commitment column, or Dan gets in his Toyota Camry and he loads it up with all of his stuff and he heads towards, you know, the grow crop areas of whatever, Colorado, and he works in a field and he works in a grow op and lives in a little shack but's happy? And maybe the darkness hits there too, but at least those last few months he can just sort of lay back and be happy, because that's all I can afford. I'm not rich. You know, I have a good job and I have good cash flow. But if I explained to you the math, you would realize that even if I were perfect at investing, even if I made every single decision perfectly since I left the Army in 1999, there is little chance I would have more than maybe $1 million in savings. And before you say, oh my God, $1 million in investments, that's so much, you need to understand something. That $1 million has to be parked someplace. It's either going to be parked in the markets, the U.S., some other country. It's going to be parked in some bank, in some currency, in some central bank, in truth. That's what we're talking about. If you put your money in a money market or currency, you really are investing in that central bank. And these days, according to the bail-in laws, you're some level, you're responsible. You're actually a debtor to the bank, or, you know, rather, I should say, a creditor to the bank, but the bank owes you, but it's an IOU that they don't have to pay. Or rather, you're responsible for theirs. It's just so ridiculous. Your money can be collateralized towards their debts. So basically, it means you're responsible for the bank's debts. Who the hell thinks that can be right and correct? But that's coming. And they're called bail-ins, and it's coming. And that's all best case scenario. And the only scenario I can think of that could possibly change the baseline formula of what I'm describing, that would get us out of this horrible top of the, you know, Hubbard's plateau, the rocky plateau, the plateau of beating our heads up against the ceiling of the fact that we have run out of cheap energy. Cheap energy is over. And we keep beating our heads up against that fact. And so the price of oil spikes, and that kills demand. So demand kills the economy. You know, when demand falls, it kills the economy, and the price of oil falls. And you do that at the top of the cycle. And if that's all we have left to look forward to, best case scenario, a few more of these epicycles of fucking the price of oil going from 30 to 130 to to 15 to 150 to going up and down, until ultimately goes to zero because it can't be delivered. Or I should say it becomes infinite because it simply can't be delivered, whatever. An economic professor will probably get pissed off at kind of how I just phrased it. But that being said, guys, I need to close this out. I'm a little bit stressed because I don't want to give up on my fellow man quite yet. And I really haven't. Like, I'm not depressed. It's just a question of, do I want to spend the last months of the current paradigm clinging to some little vestige of it, hoping it can somehow ride out that storm, even though in all likelihood that little vestige is probably going to fail because of the decisions that are being made and the facts that I know? Or do I decide hypothetically about this organization and say, do something else? And if the truth is, I just don't know. I don't honestly know. I've been very honest with people about this hypothetically. I've told them, you know, in this particular hypothetical, I've said, you know, how I feel. And people do get that. But I'm of the opinion now that some basic truths have been hidden from me. Maybe not on purpose, but they've been hidden from me. And now that they've been revealed to me in a way that's clear, it puts into question the basic enterprise. So any amount of commitment might be pointless. Anyways, I hope you guys are having a great Thursday, because it's a beautiful evening in Indianapolis. It is, you know, it's basically, I get a view of the east, so I get the sunlight reflections against the clouds in the east, and there's sort of a purple, and maybe even, I don't know, a mauve or a purple, and a bit of a pink, and a transition into almost that pink cotton candy, and then the dark blue, light blue, and the dark gray of the sky. It's a beautiful evening in Indianapolis. I hope you guys have a good one too. Okay? Yeah.